Okay, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of great gain, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So what did I miss? Okay. Just one word? Okay. Okay. Do I start over?
No.
Okay.
You did good, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
I forgot the coffee. I'll bring it to you tonight.
All right. Well, seriously, praise the Lord, you know, for his grace in allowing, you know, us to memorize scripture and commit it to our hearts and to our minds. It doesn't do a whole lot, to be honest, to stand in front of people and quote scripture, but it does a whole lot when you're laying in bed at night or when you're walking through life during the day. And you remember things like this, and you can recite them in your mind so that they can, you know, provide benefit to you in your life and your walk with Christ. So the reason we're into 1 Timothy 6, and if you want to open your Bibles and turn there, we're going to get into that and a few other things today. But we're in 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 to 12. And the reason we're there is, if you remember this one verse when Tony was teaching on contentment, you know, the one verse that says, but godliness actually, it's verse 6, godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. That was actually like our focus verse when Tony was teaching on contentment. So when we were doing that, I looked at the context around it, before it and after it, and thought, man, this is a really powerful section of scripture, as most are. But this is a great section of scripture that speaks so much to us, you know, during these times. So The thing that stood out to me about a lot of this text is it really speaks to focus. It speaks to focus today against basically worldly things. And then one of the things we're going to talk about, too, is worldly chatter, okay, which we have too much of today. So this whole text is just a really good text, and that's what got me thinking, you know, about teaching on this, to sort of deal with our Christian lives and in the context of this, like, you know, never-ending drama that we have right now of, you know, worldly chatter and garbage. So what I did, if somebody can, Dave, can you hand these out? Somebody has one. That's the handout there. And what I did was I broke this lesson down into basically two sections. The first section we're going to talk about is, and you'll see this on your handout, we're going to divide this up into two halves, basically. First of all, it's observations from the text regarding negative distractions to godliness. And then the second half we're going to get into is observations from the text regarding positive focus for godliness. Okay? Okay, so first of all, like I said, we're going to talk about observations from the text regarding negative distractions to godliness, and then observations from the text regarding positive focus for godliness. First of all, let's look at verses 4. This is 1 Timothy 6, verse 4b through verse 5. And the thing I just wanted to point out here is The word that's used is conceited. He's conceited and knows nothing, okay? And I think sometimes when we think of the word conceited, he's conceited, she's conceited, we don't think of it as maybe a really, really deep problem. It's just sort of like a hang-up. It's, you know, they're an issue. You know, they're conceited, they're sort of stuck up, you know, whatever. But if you look at the text, look at 4b, and this is sort of what I would say is like behind the curtain of conceitedness, okay? Listen to the way conceitedness and understanding nothing is described here. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth. So I just want to point that out for starters. That's the way Scripture is defining conceitedness. So there's a lot behind the curtain there. Another issue is getting all caught up in the world's chatter, okay? If you look over at verse 20, I think I'll touch on this again, but in verse 20 of the chapter, so 1 Timothy 6, verse 20, you see, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter. Okay? Do we have any worldly and empty chatter today? Yes or no?
Social media.
Social media. Anything else? Or are we just good?
TV.
The news. TV. Okay, so what Paul instructs Timothy to do here, which is applicable today, is avoid worldly and empty chatter. Okay? If we're doing this today, we should stop. If we are caught up in worldly and empty chatter, we really should stop. We should put an end to that. Okay? That's what the text says. This, in verse 20 and 21, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter. It ties right back to verse 4. You might even want to just draw a line from there to verse 4. Look back at verse 4, okay? He's conceited and understands nothing, has morbid interest in controversial questions about disputes and disputes about words, out of which arise envy. Envy is silent, okay? People don't like, you don't voice necessarily, and you don't go proactive with envy. Envy is silent. And if you stop and think about it, these things sort of build. You have envy, which is sort of silent and going on inside. But then it leads to strife, which is wrangling with maybe some people. Strife leads to abusive language. Does anybody have any ideas? Like, give me an idea. It's not your question. Like when we say this scripture says abusive language, what might that be?
Gossip, backstabbing, slander.
Gossip, slander. What, Tracy, would you say?
Demeaning.
Demeaning. Okay. The thing I thought of was name calling.
Sarcasm.
Okay. So we start with envy, which is silent. Then we go to strife. And then we escalate to abusive language, which is everything you guys just said, and like name calling. And then because there's all kinds of strife and all kinds of problems, typically we go back home and we stew on it, and then we got all these evil suspicions. He's this, she's that, I'm sure this, I'm sure that. They meant this, I'm sure. And we imply motive, and we do all kinds of stuff that's just evil suspicions, okay? And then if we're really hardcore, then we meet with our buddies and we start constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth. Okay? This is what is behind the curtain of conceitedness. It's pretty amazing. Okay? I think a lot of us are, in the last year and a half or 2 years, whatever it's been, and I'm not saying this, by the way, to point at people. I'm saying it to say we are the church and we have to think and operate differently, okay? But I've seen with a lot of people that I know that in the last couple of years, we have gotten like so caught up in worldly chatter. I've had to like just shut the news off. Okay? We've gotten so caught up in worldly chatter that we are thinking about basically this kingdom of this world, and we have almost forgotten about the kingdom of God. Okay? And the priorities in that. Okay? And we're going to get into that a little bit as we develop this, but that's sort of where we're at. Okay? How many of you will admit, if you don't want to raise your hand, you don't have to, but how many of you will admit that probably over the last year or two that you've gotten caught up in the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of man, and sort of lost your vision, your focus on the kingdom of God, okay? A few honest hands, thank you. More honest hands, thank you. Yes.
You can satisfy, you can call evil out, and not get to the point where you're taking the conversation in an unhealthy.
Yep.
That is evil what they're doing, that's evil what they're endorsing, yep. and you leave it at that, and you don't knock a person's character, you don't strive on it as a daily focus for yourself.
Yes.
But the momentary calling out evil is not bad.
Absolutely. And not only can you should.
Right.
You should. We should participate in our culture. We should be shining lights.
That's right.
We should vote. We should encourage people, whatever.
That's right.
The problem is this stuff is like alcohol. It just gets addictive. And we can end up getting so caught up in everything that we're talking about, the politics, the voting, the COVID stuff, you know, blah, 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 that we've basically lost our walk. And we've lost our focus on the things of the kingdom, okay? We start butting heads with brothers and sisters in the church, okay? That is wrong. It's wrong. Let your brother or sister have a different opinion than you have and let it settle, okay? Deal with each other in respect and pray for things that are needed, like Ukraine and people witnessing to their neighbor with dogs and people that are hurting. That's what we need to focus on. Okay? If you don't have this insight, I'll just give it to you and I'll spoon feed it to you. Satan wants everything here divided.
That's right.
Right.
He wants you
right.
to develop strife. And envy and abusive language. He's this, she's that, blah, 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 blah. Stop, dude. There's a bigger issue at stake here than you being right about politics.
Amen.
And what the news flashes and blah, blah, blah. Okay? We are missing out on being the church and being the light that is unified and showing the world how you agree to disagree in love and support and unity and still have a goal of the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of man.
Amen.
Okay? Z.
I was just going to say, if you want to make points, to address the issue of the kingdom of God, as Christians, we need to watch it actually show up in our prayer line.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh God, open up my eyes of my brothers and sisters against whatever.
Yeah.
The vaccine, whatever.
Yeah.
That's your opinion.
Yeah.
Don't that escalation of Indian behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and sort of launching off, and I'll get to Tracy, I think you had your hand up in a second. Sort of launching off what Z's saying, here's another little newsflash. If you don't have the maturity to speak with a brother or sister in Christ that differs with you and love them going in and love them going out, you don't have the maturity to talk about it.
Amen.
Okay? So just drop it. Okay? And go pray not that they would think like you, but pray that the kingdom would go forward and that you can have unity loving each other with a common interest that has nothing to do with this fleeting world.
Right.
Okay? That's what to pray about, Tracy.
So this whole debacle over the last 2 years has really caused us comfy, cozy Americans to realize some challenges, right? So we haven't, we've always just lived this cushy life, been no big deal, we haven't had issues, minor at best, kind
yeah.
of thing, really. But what I see, I mean, it's affecting us, right? So we're responding to it and saying, Lord, what is this? And wanting to know truth. But what that has caused for me personally is once I realized that I was being captured in my mind and my heart by fear because of all of it, I realized that that was a trapping of Satan, number one. And then number two, I had the opportunity to make a choice. I could either move closer to the Lord and focus on Him and His sovereignty and knowing that He's in full control of all things at all times, or I could cower away and stay bound by fear. And that, I think all of us have that opportunity as followers of Christ to either say, I'm not going to do this, but I'm going to do that. And so for me, while I you know, was focusing on what was happening to us, plural, I had to take that captive. And
right.
I had to say, no, Lord, I'm
right.
not allowing that to control me. So that was an opportunity.
Yeah.
Can I add one more thing? Is it reasonable to suggest that we don't even discuss these things, like in a church setting, like in a ABF and the gathering space in small group, where we don't discuss these things, we should be focusing on the gospel,
mm-hmm.
God, the fellowship. I just think I've been in scenarios where it's been a distraction and it's mm-hmm. not helped out. Is that burying my head in the sand, or is that a reasonable?
Well, first of all, I'm not like Yoda here, but subjective answer, I don't think it's unreasonable at all to do that. And the reason I say that is because I don't think we're called in small groups and ABFs and Christian gatherings to sit here and debate politics. I don't see a value in that. I think what we're here to do is let's get into the Word. Let's actually learn how to be more mature as Christians and follow the Word more. Let's direct each other to the Word and how we can focus on that. We're going to talk about that more here in a minute as far as focus. That's what this whole lesson's about, is focus. So it just is distracting. It gets to the point, because everybody's got an opinion. And it's going to be very difficult to find 3 or 4 or 5 people that are all on the exact same page. And guess what? If you're not on the exact same page, that's what you just have a mature dialogue offline with your Christian friend and your brother and your sister, and you come to terms on it. And like I said, if you're not mature enough, and here's a newsflash, most of us aren't. We are not mature enough to talk about these things and not have it cause division. So just stand down. Focus on what matters. You know, so that's all I would say.
Also, it matters anyway. We brought nothing in. We can't take nothing out. If we got food, water, that's good enough. We should
yeah.
learn to be content with that. All the other stuff doesn't matter. We're leaving this world anyway.
Yeah, which is the next bullet down. So thanks for the segue. And we're going to talk about money. Kelly.
Well, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is just a good thing to focus on. Don't neglect getting together, but
yeah.
encourage each other.
Perfect.
And
that's the verse right there.
See the day approaching.
Yeah.
That's what we need to be doing.
So what's the focus there? As you see what? The election coming?
The day approaching.
Christ Jesus returning.
Yeah.
The day approaching. So guess where their minds are? It's on the day approaching. It's not on the next election. Okay.
The world have evil rule, and Satan is in charge of much of what's going on. It's one theocracy was Israel. Other than that,
yeah.
I mean, seriously, the governments have evil rulers, evil people in place.
Yeah.
Why should we be surprised at what's going on?
Right.
So we can't look to that as salvation. We can't look to that as making our day better. But we are stewards over what we can do, and that's our vote. and right. being a witness. And
right.
That's what our focus is.
Yeah, and again, to the earlier point, okay, none of this is saying bury your head in the sand, go live in a cave, go be a monk. We're not saying that. What we're saying is be a mature, responsible follower of Christ. Your head's not buried in the sand, but it's also not buried in the world. It's buried in the kingdom. So, man, I got hands up going up all over the place. Becky.
Well, just in a simple way, the more we're in the Word, the more wise we're going to be about what we see in politics.
And that's what we're going to get into in a minute.
I mean, that's really the core of it. I mean, if we keep our head in the Word, we are wise in what we do and what we say.
Exactly.
And that's why people aren't. They don't.
A lot of this conversation has been looking out what we see in the world.
Yep.
But this paragraph starts with, if anyone advocates a different doctrine, so it's talking about the church,
mm-hmm.
and what goes on in the church,
mm-hmm.
that's where we're going to focus.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you. So let's move on. We're gonna. Sorry, Jerry.
Just one quick thing.
I'll bring it back, even though you're getting canned for lying.
I think embedded in the discussion is I think we're well aware of views from, we'll just say, anti-biblical people, all right, anti-God people. We're well aware of the evil and the false constructs in those views. On the other side, though, the pushback that's coming is a little more complicated because they're trying to respond to it and they're right to oppose some of the things, but embedded in that conversation is this idea that civil religion is worth keeping. God and country and all that. Civil religion is, in fact, a problem. If we want to settle for God and country and waving the flag and not getting to the real issue of the gospel.
Right.
And so all I'm saying is we need to have a worldview perspective that sorts that out and sees that civil religion as a substitute for biblical religion is just as evil as the things that we're opposing on the far left.
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that we're lost as a world and culture is why we got into this in the first place. We're not going to get out of it with the same means. So, okay, two more quick ones and now I want to move on. Go ahead.
You might address this later on in the lesson. Maybe too big of a question right here now. But one thing that I have noticed in my very short life so far is that I think we're how we might have gotten to where we've gotten with the difference between the influence that conservatives have and the influence that liberals have is that those with biblical values, biblical morals, have allowed themselves to be put into silence by the other side. Allowed the other side to shout so loud that their voice gets shut down.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's been fear of man.
How do you find that fine line between not getting caught up in everyday, each successive new scandal or whatever?
Honestly, no disrespect, but that is like a great topic for a 3-week session. Mm-hmm. And we just can't get into that right now, but that's a really good point. I got to move on, man. Jed.
I have a friend, and it's not, honestly, some of the controversial topics and all this going, I think it is good and right to discuss them.
Yeah.
It's just that I think a practice as the body of Christ, which I'm speaking to myself, gladly, so my friend is doing this quite a bit, is how do we apply the scriptures to that situation?
Right.
How do the scriptures speak to this? And that will help hone our minds as we discuss.
Yeah. Yeah. And can you do what Jed's talking about if you're not well grounded in the scriptures? No. So we need to get into the scriptures. Yeah.
So first we talked, we couldn't hear a word she said back.
Kelly?
The young man.
Oh, sorry, Gabriel. Well, that's okay, because that's a whole different 3-week series. That's a whole different 3-week series. We're going to turn a corner. We're going to turn a corner now. If you look at the third bullet under your first section, you have the love of money, okay? This is turning a corner, okay? But it's the love of money. Do you see how dangerous it is to think that godliness is a means of financial gain? And how seriously dangerous it is to want to get rich verse 9 says, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Okay. Have you ever dealt with this temptation to want to get rich? Have you ever gone into too much debt? Have you ever stewed with too much pride as to what everybody else will see that you have? Okay? It's very, very dangerous. Okay? It's evil. And I would say, let's not be so fast to say this isn't us. Because we live in one of the most affluent cultures in the history of man. And I think a lot of times, honestly, and I'll just say this and move on, what we call needs are more wants. Okay? Because everybody else has the boat, and everybody else has this, and everybody else is living there, and blah, 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 blah. And we need to keep our head and our heart in the scriptures and live this life.
Yes, we do.
Okay? And quit looking at the neighbors. Okay? Quit looking at the money. Quit looking at all those things that that implies.
The technical term is keep it up with the Joneses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the day version 1995. We hear in the scriptures in the CEB, which is Common English Bible, we have denied the faith and are worse than those who have no faith if we don't provide for our families. That's what we're called to do. Okay, the scripture's not poo-pooing earning money.
Right.
You have to earn money. God commands you to earn money. Get to work, get off the couch, go earn money. Support your family. But there's a big difference between that and wanting to get rich and wanting to impress other people, okay? And wanting to go into debt up to your eyeballs until you are now, you're wrapped up in a pretzel of stress that you can't get out of, okay? I'll leave it at that. Russ.
Between the lottery in the state of Michigan was a downfall. People are always looking for a lot of gold and rainbow.
Well,
I mean, you go into a convenience store, and there's somebody in front of you buying $50 worth of lottery tickets, hoping that he's going to win or she's going to win. And it's not going to happen. So, like you said, it affects him, affects the family, and they're not going to find a pot of gold.
Yeah, just be real careful when we loop ourselves into the world when we're describing things. There's a lot of things the world wants to do and will do. That's not us. We think differently. Just one last thing on this money thing, okay? Look at verse 17 to 19. You might say, okay, well, what about the godly rich person? There are godly millionaires. There's godly billionaires. What about them? Are they lovers of money? Well, let's look. Verse 17 says, instruct those who are rich in the present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, Amen. But on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Back to envy, strife, judging people. Don't just judge your Christian millionaire neighbor or friend that you know. Okay? Here's the thing. God, I believe, and I think this sort of supports it, he doesn't slam the godly rich person here.
Right.
He says, keep your focus to the godly rich person. So, in my two cents of opinion, I think God gives certain Christians the ability and the heart to be able to become Christian millionaires,
Absolutely.
And it does not capture their heart. They're very good at what they do. They're very skilled. God says in Deuteronomy 8, it's him that gives you the ability to make money. And they minister like crazy to the kingdom of God. Okay? But they don't love money. They don't want to get rich. It's something God has called them to. And here's the thing. God has not called many of us to that. That's my conviction. I don't think he's called many of us to that. So for us to look at the Christian millionaire and say, I want to be like him, I want to be like, dude, your priorities are wrong. Okay? That's the love of money. So to get away from this temptation of all these things we're talking about is, you know, conceitedness and worldly chatter and love of money and so forth. The scripture says, Paul instructed Timothy and applies to us, to take hold of the eternal life to which we were called and not get caught up in this trap, okay? So let's look at that for a minute. Move down to your observations from the text regarding positive focus for godliness on your handout. In verse 12, he says, take hold of, okay? Turn to Joshua 23, Joshua chapter 23. And we're going to look at verses 6 to 8. Joshua 23, 6 to 8. This is really talking about the same thing. I'll go ahead and read it. He says, be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, in order that you may not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them. By the way, I'm NASB, so if my words aren't like your words, that's why. Or serve them or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. When we read in 1 Timothy, take hold of, that's what we're talking about. You guys remember, I'm sure, who here has never been on a roller coaster? I'm sure nobody, right? Everybody here has been on a roller coaster. When you go on a roller coaster, what do? Okay, you're going up 200-300 feet, whatever it is, and you got bar, you scream, that's fine. but you're holding on, right?
No, you prove your tongue.
You don't have to if you're cool.
No, on the way up, you can put your hands up in the air.
He said you don't have to if you're cool. I'll say you don't have to if you're stupid.
Right.
You hold on
you're
to the
trusting that bar's locked.
That's right. You are. You're holding on to that bar, and you're like just going everywhere. It's 70 miles an hour, whatever it is, upside down, blah, blah, blah. And if you take your hand off that bar, theoretically, you're going to get flung right out of that thing. Okay? So you take hold of, and those are the good old roller coasters, not all these shoulder straps and all that. The ones with just the bar on your seat, you know, and it's like, you hold on or you're out. But this verse here, take hold of. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. That's what we're talking about here, just like we just read in Joshua 23. Okay? Cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. That's what we're talking about. Another place, by the way, if you want to look at Psalm 63, look at Psalm 63, verses 7 to 8. Psalm 63 is a great psalm to memorize, by the way. Psalm 63, verses 7 to 8. For thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you.
Yes.
Your right hand upholds me. It's the same thing. Take hold of the eternal life to which you have been called. Okay? That's what we read in 1 Timothy. That is one way we keep a positive focus for godliness, okay? Now, I want you to look at verse 3 in 1 Timothy 6. Let me get back there. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. He says, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness. What is the intent of doctrine?
To teach.
To conform us to godliness. That's the intent of doctrine. Doctrine, we don't study doctrine to become more religious. We don't just study doctrine more so we can go, we like know everything. We don't study doctrine so we can become more pious. We study doctrine so that we can become more godly.
Yes.
That's why we study doctrine, okay?
More conformed to the image of Christ.
You just took it right out. The conforming to godliness is the same thing as Romans 8:29. It says, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the point, okay? I want to just read a little note here. I jotted down, doctrine promotes godliness. So the inverse is, if you want to pursue godliness, and godliness would be like in character actions, okay? Then pursue doctrine.
Right.
If you want to pursue godliness, pursue doctrine. If you're too, how can I say it? If you're one of these people that says, I don't want to study doctrine. Doctrine's dry. Doctrine's boring. Doctrine's technical.
Doctrine divides.
Doctrine divides, you know. Doctrine,
sure
doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. It just sounds like really like a brick or something. If you're one of those people, don't be.
Right.
Study doctrine, because doctrine is what leads you to godliness, okay?
Good doctrine, solid doctrine, biblical doctrine.
Exactly, the word.
A lot of bad teaching out there.
Exactly. And another thing I wanted to point out here is can't we all attest to how professing Christians and churches with poor doctrine reflect poor godliness?
Amen, yes.
And others with sound doctrine reflect strong godliness. Okay? Hence our need to be in the meat of the word. We need to study sound doctrine. Okay? Now, look at verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12 says, and whoever, who did I give 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 to? Dan, can you get that ready? Verse 11 and 12 says, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Okay? That is very much like this. Go ahead and read 2 Corinthians.
For though we live as human beings, we do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not human weapons, but are made powerful by God for tearing down strongholds. We tear down arguments and every arrogant obstacle that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obey Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And that's what Tracy mentioned earlier, too, is taking every thought captive. Does that section of scripture right there just like hit the nail on the head or what?
Yes.
Is that exactly what we're talking about or what? That's focus. That's all focus. Turn, look at your handout. We're gonna come to the home stretch here, and I'll try to hurry up so we can finish on time. We are told, Paul told Timothy, and we are told to pursue, okay? Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. Pursue these things, okay? My question is, and I want to hear from you guys, and if you can quote scripture, all the better. How do we pursue these things? I'll tell you what my little 2 cents was on each one of them, but I'd like to hear from you. How do we pursue righteousness?
Quick to repent.
Pursue righteousness by being quick to repent. Anything else? Okay.
Have to be surrendered.
True. And how would we define righteousness? Pursue righteousness. How do we define righteousness? What is this righteousness we're trying to pursue? Define it.
Being Christ-like.
Okay. I just said doing what is right. Okay, which Christ always did. Godliness. How would you describe godliness? Pursue godliness. How would you describe godliness?
Upright living.
Do what God says. Do what God says in regards to marriage, parenting, work,
okay.
Finance.
Okay.
Mercy and love.
Mercy and love. You guys are basically using adjectives that hit the nail on the head that, for what I had, reflecting the holiness of Christ. That's godliness. Reflecting the holiness of Christ. Faith. How would you describe faith? We're supposed to pursue faith. Define faith.
Trust. In Christ alone, by grace alone,
yeah.
Through faith alone.
I had written down trusting the Lord in all things.
Right.
We're supposed to pursue love. How would you define this love that we're supposed to pursue?
Selflessness.
Selflessness. For, and I love that. And for what reason?
To glorify God. For God's glory.
Okay.
And to bring other people closer to Him.
Gotcha. Yeah, I had committing to delivering the kindness of Christ to others. That's love. Perseverance. We're told to pursue perseverance. What is that?
I always think of keep fighting that good fight no matter what. Never give up.
Okay. Remain steadfast. Okay. Considering it all joy. That's a great one. Yeah.
Hebrews 12.
Yeah. For the perseverance thing, I had holding your grip tight on eternal life. Okay.
John 5:13.
Gentleness. Pursue gentleness. Well, what are we talking about? What's gentleness?
Words. Giving deference to someone else over yourself.
Okay.
Overlooking offenses that should be overlooked.
Amen. And what I wrote down was sort of similar to that, but interacting with others in wisdom. Interacting with others in wisdom.
And grace.
And deflecting all praise and compliments to the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Because every good and perfect gift is from Him.
Right.
That's right.
What about speech and the way we communicate with another?
Exactly. That's the interacting in wisdom. Yeah. Yeah. And then finally, we have fight the good fight of what?
Faith.
Faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Get out of the world's interests and fight the good fight of faith.
Always.
Always.
Share the truth, even when you're afraid. And you're even when there's going to be resentment and condemnation, share it anyway.
And then lastly... It does. And then lastly, take hold of the eternal life to which you're called. Again, that taking hold, this isn't like, we read scripture sometimes, I think, like we're neutered, okay? Like, read scripture with the emphasis it demands. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Take hold of. We're all dealing with stuff, man. We all got cancer, and we all got divorces, and we all got kids going wrong, and blah, blah, blah. We got wars, okay? We got all kinds of stuff. It's just going to fling us right off the roller coaster. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called.
God's sovereign.
Stand strong.
Face set like flint.
Right. So... to sort of wrap up, and I got to hurry up, to assist us in how to focus to do all these things, listen to Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 27. Go ahead.
My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are light for those who find them. Healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and gaze to straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Strange last sentence. Turn your foot away from evil.
Any final questions, comments? All right, let's pray. Father, we just pray that you would bring all this to fruition in our lives. Guide us and direct us. May everything we've talked about today remain with us so that we can give you glory and honor you with all that we are. And that would be the crown of our life. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.